seeing some of the greatest falling away in the church that we've ever seen before. That is why we're seeing the greatest drift. That's why we're seeing people going lukewarm today that maybe the church has never seen before. That is why we're watching the church go woke. You can't go that route. If you have a revelation that he said, I'm coming back from the dead, and if he said that and it happened, everything else he said is going to happen. I will never forget when Jerry Seville at one of the believers' conferences, he held up his Bible and he said, we need to get back to the place where we have reverence for the Word of God. Doesn't that sound crazy in the church? In the church, we need to have reverence again. There should be no place that has reverence for the Word of God like the church today. The truth is, you and I both know it, there's a pile in the church that never pick it up. A pile in the church who don't even know it. A pile in the church who don't even feed their spirit. A pile that when they do read it, they don't believe it. They just put in their time. The fact that he rose from the dead, the disciples needed to get to the point where everything he said made sense. And everything he said, they're going, if he said it, if he said this and he did it, everything else he said, it's going to happen. Let me just tell you one of them. Jesus was alive and he made a statement. He said, disciples, the time is coming when not two stones in this temple are going to be left together. Remember that? Do you know that some of the disciples were alive? They saw the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. They saw that temple being destroyed. They saw every stone being ripped apart from that temple. Can I tell you why I believe God allowed that to happen? If that temple was around today, do you think people would still be worshiping at that temple? Or do you think they'd get a revelation that they are the temple? It's the same as the Ark of the Covenant. Why do you think the Ark of the Covenant is missing today? Do you know why? Because if that thing was here, it would still be worshipped. It would have become an idol that would lead people away going, that's where the presence and that's where the power of God is. God had to remove the Ark so that we get a revelation of, I'm the Ark. I'm the temple. The power is in me. aren't saved, but when they come in contact with him, they're not opening their mouth, they're not sharing their faith, they're not believing that he's alive, they're living like he's dead. It's me, it's my ability, I can't do it. Did I tell you, when the disciples walked out of that upper room and there were 3,000 people that got saved and a whole pile more that were there, were they living with this picture or this picture? He was alive when they stepped out. And Peter knew it was not him talking. It was the Father talking. I'm not going to have you do it. But right now, honestly, if you think about your own life, if you think of where you are in this area, and I had you come and stand behind one of the tables that represents you, they need to get it. Total fulfillment. Again, we're going back to everything was validated, everything that was said by the prophets, by Jesus, it all came true. This was fulfillment. And can I just make this statement? If the prophecies about Jesus' death and resurrection in the Old Testament came true, the prophecies about the end of the world, do you think they might come true as well? They wouldn't be afraid. And let's just begin with this one. The moment they had a revelation that he came alive from the dead, what is the greatest fear that people have other than the fear of public speaking? Death. That is the greatest fear. The greatest fear is death. They needed a revelation, and I want you to understand this. When they were in the upper room before they met Jesus, before they were convinced, the Bible says they were in there and they were afraid. Every door was shut, every window was shut. Why were they afraid? They were afraid that all the chief priests and leaders were going to come and do to them what they did to Jesus. I think the contrast is so amazing because in the upper room, they are there paralyzed with a spirit of fear, fear of death, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up, convinces them he's alive. They step out of the upper room. Where did the fear of death go? To hell. Can I tell you this, and you know the truth, of all the 12 disciples, they replaced Judas after he hung himself. They replaced him, so there were still 12 disciples. Of all the 12, only one lived and died a natural death. Who was that again? John, even though they tried to kill him, wore him, right? I mean, they tried to kill him, they couldn't kill him. I'm convinced that John lived that long because he had to look after Mary. Jesus was concerned about Mary being looked after. I think that's awesome. He cared about his mom. That's a good Mother's Day sermon, isn't it? But do you know that 11 of the disciples died an unnatural death? 11 of them, because of their faith in Christ, 11 of them, because they shared, 11 of them, because they went and did what Jesus did, their life was killed. Can I ask you something? If the fear of death and the opinion of men was still there, would they have ever done that? This picture inside of a person, they got this, was a revelation of, this is what Jesus said, don't be afraid of healing to kill the body. Can I tell you bluntly, how the church today is still afraid of those who can kill the body? They're going to stone me? They're going to write something bad about me? They're going to call me names? They might persecute me? They might make my life uncomfortable? Oh, worst thing, they can kill me? Can I tell you, when you have this revelation, the words of Jesus come back. If you believe in me, you will never what? Die. Do you think they believed that after they were convinced he was alive? Can I tell you bluntly, if the fear of death is still in you, even as a believer, this is what you live. This is your picture. This controls your life. What God is wanting to do with the revelation of the resurrection is to change. Church, I want to tell you bluntly, around the world, they already live with this, but I want to tell you bluntly, Church, do you recognize we might be in a generation where some of us might lose our life for our faith? How many of us ever signed up believing that that would ever happen in our lifetime? Are you kidding? My parents believed they never had to pay a price. My grandparents believed they never had to pay a price. Well, that's not quite true, because they were in Germany, but the price was a little different. But the generations before, they never had to pay the price. There's one generation that God has to live in the end time where you might have to pay a price. There's going to be a grace on there. But let me tell you why a pile of the church is going to fall away. The fear of death still controls the majority of the body of Christ. The disciples had to get to a point where they go, if he conquered death, there is no longer death. The fear of death is no longer there. That sting is out of me. I will be obedient. Doesn't matter if they saw me in two. Doesn't matter if they boil me. Doesn't matter if they hang me upside down. Doesn't matter if they take my head off. I'm going to be obedient to what he said, because you might kill my body, but to be absent from the body is... Can I ask you a blunt question? Can you circumstances of our life, the church, the body of Christ, looks and goes, can't overcome that. Can't break free of that. That's too tough for God. Too tough in my own life. Too tough in my children's life. Too tough, sir. God can't do this. And I give you a revelation of the disciples. If he can do that, he can cure that leprosy. He can make that blind person. He can take that demonized, and if he can do this, what can't he do? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. 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 It came from your parents, from your parents, from your parents. Yeah. Really true. Yeah. There's a word for that. You know what that word is? That this only happened with the disciples, and the moment the disciples died, all of this ended. There's a word for that. You know what it's called? In fact, there's a pile of church believes this. They live this. They don't even know what the word is. They shouldn't be able to do it if they don't know the word, but they do it. You know what it's called? Dispensationalism. That's the belief that when the last disciple died, all of this other stuff that Jesus said would happen, it all died with them. And after that, every believer after that lives powerless, doesn't live the Holy Spirit, can't do what Jesus did. That's exactly right. Yeah. 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 So let me just throw this out to you. If that died with the last disciple, did healing die with the last disciple? Yeah, most of the church believes that, by the way. Did casting out demons die with the last disciple? Yeah, most of the church believes that, by the way. Us having the same authority with our spoken word, did that die with the disciples? Yeah, most of the church believes that that died, because they don't believe that their word has the power that Jesus' word did. Does that mean in John 14, when Jesus said, those who believe will do the same things that I did? Get out. Even greater? Here's the deal, guys. We look at what Jesus did. We look at what the disciples did. We go, oh, that died out. We go, yeah, I'm a believer, but I live my life as though Jesus is still there. The disciples needed a revelation that if he could come back from the hardest thing out there, there was not a single thing. There's not a single thing that God cannot do, cannot overcome, cannot defeat. There is not a single thing. And here's the beautiful thing. John 3:16, let me quote it for you. For God so loved the world that when the disciples believed, is that what it said? You know, there's some things that some people say that just stick in your head. I will never forget when Kenneth Copeland said he was in his bedroom. He was a new believer. He was just reading the Bible. Came to John 3:16, and he runs out of the room and he goes, Gloria! I'm a whosoever! Can I ask you a question? Is it just the disciples that are whosoevers? Mark 16. These are Jesus' words. And here's the crazy thing. If you believe he's alive, you'll actually believe this. He goes, Mark 16, those who believe in me, these signs will accompany them. Do you read in there, these signs will accompany the disciples because they were said, just like if there's ever a time when you don't feel loved, he goes, you're being demonically deceived because my love for you is as constant as the sun shining down on you. It is that constant. And if you're not living with that revelation, there is demonic deception blocking the reality in your life. I don't want you to raise your hand. But I want to ask you today and yesterday, in your day, as you were living your life, how many of you had periods of time in your life where you were skit.